Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel on Giving Tuesday. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that shortly, but with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m., top of the hour Central Time, well, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. What's on your mind today? Something you'd like to talk about? Give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll talk about it. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today is Giving Tuesday, so we started last week with Thanksgiving and then Black Friday and Small Business Saturday, and we got a break on Sunday and Cyber Monday, where more money was spent than it's ever been spent online at any given time in history. So records were broken yesterday. And today is Giving Tuesday, and it's interesting. A number of years ago, several people from a couple of organizations decided that let's put a kind of a curb in the middle of all this spending frenzy and all of this money that we're putting out there to buy things for one another. Let's create a day where folks can think about. Others can actually think about giving to causes and giving to support the work of ministry and the work of nonprofits all over this country. And boy, it caught on, and people look forward to this day. They look forward to being able to give to their favorite charities, their favorite causes, and we're certainly grateful for those who give to Basic Gospel. Yeah, we think there's no better investment than in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told his disciples as he sent them out into the fields in the harvest, saying, hey, take this message out there to people. Mm-hmm. He said, you've been given freely. You've been given a lot. It's been given to you freely. So freely give. We see that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And I think the Apostle Paul really used that as the cornerstone for what he told us, or how he told us to give in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians in chapters 8 and 9, that we're to be cheerful givers, we're to give generously based on what we have, not what we don't have. So he's talking about freely giving, allowing the grace of God to work in our lives, to move us to give, to meet the needs of people, to advance the good news of Jesus Christ, to lift up the gospel so that hearts can respond and people can receive forgiveness and eternal life. And it's a wonderful opportunity for Basic Gospel Nation, people all over this country and the world who are committed to Basic Gospel, to say, hey, I want to give an extra gift today to support the outreach. And we would love to see $5,000 come in today through this Giving Tuesday, and all the opportunities on how to give are available at basicgospel.net. And we just encourage you, if this ministry has meant something to you, if you would like to see others liberated from rules and regulations and kind of legalism, and to really experience peace and the grace of God and this abundant life to the full, then Basic Gospel is the place to give.
Yes, indeed.
Your dollars will be used for that very purpose. And like I said, there's no better investment than in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if that's what you want to do, we encourage you to give generously today on this Giving Tuesday.
Indeed. Well, as you said in an email, Bob, thousands of people who connect with us every day need to know that God loves them and about His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater joy that we can have than knowing you've played a part in reaching others with this good news of the Lord Jesus. We ask you to give on this Giving Tuesday, friends. You can click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. If you'd like to give by check, you can send a gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. In Canada, you can use basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your November gift, be sure to request Bob Christopher's excellent message called Everything You Need for Life and Godliness.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Brad and O'Fallon and talk with him. Hi, Brad. You're on Basic Gospel Radio. Welcome.
Couldn't be in a better place. And one thing I like about your opening, every single day on this broadcast, you hear about the gospel. And that's what we're to be preaching. And I so love this ministry because of that. My question for you guys today, I'm in a discussion with my oldest son, who conflates the old and the new. And I guess he didn't have any better argument, but he told me, he says, well, Paul preaches on the law all the time, so how can the law of Moses not be okay too? So I went through the Paul's epistles and his letters and the book of Romans and whatever, and there were 6 mentions of other laws, the law of righteousness, the law of faith, the law of Jesus Christ, the law of God. And my answer to him was, and I'll just let you guys discuss it, was I don't see any rules, regulations, or consequences to failing these particular laws unless we go to God without faith. You know, nothing's going to happen there. But can you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I do. I mean, as far as Paul's discussion of the law, he was putting the law in its proper place. He was giving it its proper purpose. So he never says that we are to live by the law. He says we're to die to the law so that we can come alive to Jesus Christ and so that we can live to God. So under the law, we're controlled by sin. Sin is our master. We're in bondage to sin. The law keeps us in that relationship until faith comes. And so when faith comes, the law steps aside and gives way to Jesus Christ. I think that's exactly what John the Baptist was saying when he said, I must decrease and he must increase. John the Baptist was the picture of the law and the prophets. And he had come to prepare the way for Jesus. Well, now that Jesus was on the scene, the law was going to step back, and Jesus was going to take center stage. Well, that's how it is in our lives personally. The law held us captive to sin and death. When we receive Jesus, we're liberated, we're set free, we're made alive together with Christ. And so the law steps aside and gives way for Jesus to live his life in and through us. So that's the greater law that we live by today, by faith in Jesus Christ. He never discusses any idea of us, you know, submitting again to the law of Moses. That came to an end at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Right. What about the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of Jesus Christ, the law of God?
I don't know
how to discuss that with him because it's not like the law of Moses. There's no consequences other than good consequences.
Right. So the
believer.
So the wages of sin has already been dealt with.
Yes,
in Jesus. So he took the wages of sin. So that was
right.
That was the final act of the law. So there's the law, and then we violated the law, and so we're all under the condemnation of the law. And for us Gentiles, we had our conscience as our law. We violated that. We couldn't even live up to what we knew right from wrong as far as in our own hearts. And so we were judged.
Yeah.
We were judged by that. We were condemned by that. And so Jesus came in, and he was the final act of the law. So the law isn't complete until punishment is dealt out. So Jesus, He took that punishment for us. So he turned aside the wrath of God, taking it on himself so that we could be made alive together with Christ. Now, Jesus also served as our high priest, and he serves as our high priest today. So there was a change in the priesthood. And so as the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 7, when there's a change of the priesthood, there is of necessity a change of the law. So Jesus did what was necessary. He put an end to the old, he set it aside, and he ushered in a new covenant. And in this new covenant, we have the laws of faith, hope, and love written on our hearts. So that's what it means to have a new heart. We have a heart that wants to trust, wants to believe Jesus, and in fact does believe Jesus. So that's the good news. And so that's how you explain it. We're not under the old, we're under the new. And in this new covenant, we have the laws of faith, hope, and love written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit himself.
Yeah, there's an aspect of this that just, it may sound harsh, but it has to be dealt with. Anytime any person, I don't care who they are, how old, how young, what their backgrounds are, anytime any of us goes to any kind of behavioral point of view, that is a complete repudiation of grace. Grace is Jesus himself living inside of us by the Holy Spirit. And if we can't believe that the Holy Spirit has enough power to teach us how to be the kind of people God has created us to be, then we're just not believers.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And we've got to come to grips with the aspects that Jesus did everything and has now given us everything. And if the Holy Spirit is going to work in my life, he's going to work everything in and through me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only option. If I go to behaviorism of any kind, then I'm expecting God to owe me something, and that's not grace.
That's not grace at all. Well, it is basic gospel. Brad, thank you for your question. Hope that helps with your conversation. We have calls on the board, so I guess, guys, let's just keep going for a moment.
Well, let's do. Let's talk with David out in California. Hi, David. You're on the line.
Hello. I have a question related to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, when Jesus is telling John that he is the root and the descendant of David. Is he speaking in genealogical terms, in terms of genealogy?
Well, he is kind of echoing what both Matthew and Luke wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He is from the line of David, and so from a human ancestry purpose, point of view, he is the rightful heir to the throne of David, but he is going to sit on that throne forever. So we know that his humanness and the bloodline that he came through qualifies him to sit on that throne, but the fact that he is God and has been raised alive means that he is going to sit on that throne forever. So it's just one little aspect of this person of Jesus Christ, both fully God and both fully man. And we see kind of that picture given to us in really glorious detail throughout the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, the Alpha and Omega. We see all these different descriptions of Jesus. So we're getting the full gamut. We're seeing every facet of who Jesus is. So right there, he's simply talking about kind of the humanness, the fact that he was from the bloodline of Judah, went through David, and is the rightful heir to the throne of David,
yes,
which was a promise in the Old Testament that there was one coming that would sit on the throne of David forever, and the government would be upon his shoulders.
Yeah, he is the child of promise, not the child of law.
Yes.
I see. So in the as the root and descendant, would that be accurately taken as following the genealogies, say, listed in the book of Matthew from
Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke both have genealogies that go back through David. That's the descendant side. When he says, I am the root, that means he came prior to David. He was the one through whom the world was created, so therefore he's the root of everything. And after sin came in, and he promised through Abraham that the whole world would be blessed, then Jesus is the only being ever in the history of ever who could be both root and descendant of David. That's how superior he is.
Fully God, fully man.
Yes.
So those who would call Jesus the second Adam, is there any relation to the first Adam in the genealogies?
Well, in the sense that all of mankind come from Adam. I mean, that's where we all come from. And I think it's Matthew that goes all the way back to Adam.
I think so.
Maybe it's Luke. One of those genealogies traces him all the way back to Adam. But as Richard just said, he was before Adam. So that makes him the root. That makes him the descendant. That means that all things were created by him and for him, and that he is the one that holds all things together. And that's why at the end of times, we're going to be all focused on him, worshiping him as the one who took away our sins and was raised so that we could have life everlasting, and what we are going to actually share in his life together forever.
Yeah. Now, there's one more aspect of your question when you ask if he is the second Adam. He's the second Adam because he was born spiritually alive and completely sinless. Adam was created spiritually alive and completely sinless. So there's never been a question that you and I would have to answer for sin or righteousness or any of that kind of thing. Jesus could because he was born sinless and born fully alive in the Spirit. That's what made him the second Adam.
I agree. Well, thank you for your ministry, and God bless you.
Thank you, David. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate your good question there.
Yes, we do.
Well, let's go out to...
Tell you what, before we go to Frank, as we said a little bit earlier, today is Giving Tuesday, and Richard, please give us an update on where we stand with regard to the end of the year and how Giving Tuesday can kind of play into where we need to be as we move forward.
Well, we need plenty of money at the end of the year. We're not afraid to say that. It's the nature of the way giving goes throughout the calendar year and throughout a fiscal year. Some months are very large, some months are very small, and so we call that seasonality. And we're coming into the season where we get a very large percentage of our income for the year. We appreciate that. Whatever you give today on Giving Tuesday is going to help us meet that goal. I'm not going to give you what that goal is. I want you to give freely and not under compulsion. If we can hit our target for today of $5,000 or more, that will be a huge thing. And that's just so amazing. What you've heard in our last two calls is the reason why it's important to give to us. Yeah. You're not only going to hear the gospel. Lots of people say gospel. You're going to hear why the gospel is so important, why Jesus is who Jesus is, and why that means something to you and to your friends. That's why we ask you to give, to keep this message going.
Yes, indeed.
$5,000 today is nothing. Bring it on.
Yeah. Well, friends, you can find all the ways to give when you visit the website basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. At the end of the broadcast, I'll give all the ways once again. But right now, you can go to basicgospel.net or basicgospel.net/Canada.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. And as Richard and Bob have said, I hope many people will take advantage of that, will join with us today and say, hey, I want to invest in the gospel. I want to help people who are stuck, who are frustrated, who are struggling to just be free, to really be free in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So if that's your heart's desire, join with us. Give generously. And let's take this good news story. Let's take the story of Jesus to as many people as we possibly can through this Basic Gospel radio broadcast.
Absolutely.
Well, in the meantime, let's go down to Central Texas and talk to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Hello, brothers. bear with me, because I want to ask like three questions, and God bless you in Christ Jesus for your ministry. When, like, for example, I was listening to Gary Hedrick again this morning. He's teaching on chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans, and, you know, where blindness in part has come to Israel, right, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I wonder why that verse is used in relationship to the rapture, because a lot of pastors say until the last Gentile believer believes, then the rapture will happen. But, you know, I get a little confused, because aren't there going to be Gentile believers during the rapture, during the tribulation and during the great tribulation? And the body of Christ is made up of Jews and Gentiles, and Jews are believing today. So could you explain that to me? And why that verse is used to try and explain the rapture? And are there going to be Gentiles that are saved during the Great Tribulation? So they kind of make it sound like when the last Gentile believer believes, then we're all going home. And I'm waiting for that day, because I'm really sick, to be honest with you, sick physically. But
well, we're sorry for that, sorry. And certainly.
Yeah.
Pray God's
okay.
comfort in the midst of that for you.
Yeah. But it'll be my graduation day. It's my graduation day. I'm not afraid.
Well, that is great to hear.
I've trusted. Yeah.
Well, let us jump into that. As far as Romans 11, 25 is concerned, and that's the verse where it talks about the fullness of the Gentiles. Really, this is the tail end of a full discussion on predestination, and God starts it with a pretty amazing deal. I'm speaking the truth in Christ that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, etc. And so he's talking about his deep heart desire for all of his brothers, his Jewish brothers and sisters, and all those that he knew in Judaism would come to know the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, just as he had come to know him. Because he had learned Amen. That in Jesus, that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of everything that Judaism stood for. That Jesus Christ was the culmination. That's what they had waited for. And Paul discovered that, and he wanted his Jewish brothers to know it. But this gospel message was for Gentiles as well. It wasn't just a Jewish message. It was for Gentiles as well. And so God had predestined that Gentiles would be saved in exactly the same way the Jewish people would be saved. And as you said, that the two would be joined as one man called the body of Christ. So this in chapter 11 is just saying there was a hardening so that this gospel message could go out to the Gentile world so that they could receive it. And there's going to be a point in time where this message will circle back to the Jewish people and they will receive it just as the Gentiles did. So that's the wisdom and the glory of God. But I think we just need to leave it in that discussion because
right
that's
there.
The context. But well, Frank, we're out of time, and we sure appreciate your call today. Hope that helped.
Thanks,
you call
Frank.
Anytime.
Yeah. Yes. Well, friends, again, we've talked about Giving Tuesday, and we want to ask your help to reach that $5,000 goal today, Giving Tuesday. So click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. If you would like to give by check, you can send your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal, and in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.